Who's gonna introduce that? You, Rob? Okay. That's item 15 in your book.
This is consideration of Ernest L. George's proposed placement of a pound net in the Rappahannock River, and the proposal was protested during the 30-day comment period. I think it's important to get a little bit of background here. Last February, the Commission conducted a review into the compliance and licensing conditions of Mr. George's pound net at Windmill Point. And you will recall at that time that net, which was situated in front of the Beach Cove Villas at Windmill Point, was under considerable debate for several months. And ultimately, Mr. George voluntarily agreed to move his pound net to a new location. I will tell you one of the big comments that was throughout the several meetings where you heard that information from the Villa Cove situation, the Cove Villa situation, was that if he could just move his net out 1,500 feet. I believe that's in the record several times. Well, in this case, Mr. George does want to move to a site which would be 1,500 feet from shore. And it's a new location, and as part and parcel of going through the situation with Mr. George, a new regulation, Regulation 25, pertaining to pound net siting and public interest review, this will be the first case for that regulation. And in accordance with this regulation, Mr. George has fulfilled his part in advertising the location in the Southside Sentinel. The 30-day public comment period expired on April 29th. We have received 7 letters and emails expressing concern for the placement of this new pound net. One commenter did not object to the new location on the basis that the location was far enough from shore. And some general comments were that the pound net would affect property owners' ability to fish from their property, impact the enjoyment of their property, create an additional navigation hazard already hampered by sandbars, an artificial reef, an existing pound net and crab pots, and would result in overfishing. One commenter talked about limiting his access to the North End Wharf, and when Sonia Davis presents the site visit slides, you'll see exactly where that is. And also there were comments there would be debris and dead fish on the shoreline. You have copies of all comments in your packet. I would note that one comment from Pete W. Covington II is including the North End Shore Homeowners Association. So he's speaking for quite a few people there. But in general, all others are property owners' individual comments. Regulation 25 outlines the factors the Commission should use in reaching a decision to approve or deny Mr. George's request. And in addition to the Constitution and the public trust doctrine, the Commission should consider, 1, other reasonable and permissible uses of state waters, 2, marine fishery resources of the Commonwealth, 3, tidal wetlands, 4, water quality, 5, adjacent or nearby properties, and 6, SAV. The pound net is a legal and historically common method of commercial fishing in Chesapeake Bay and its tributaries, dating back to the 1870s. In prior decades, the numbers of pound nets were up to over 3,000 pound nets. Today, there are about 100 nets set statewide. In 1994, this commission implemented a limited entry system for pound nets where 161 was the maximum to be able to take gray trout by pound nets. Unlike active gear such as trawl that can move to fish, for the pound net, it's a passive gear, so it's unlikely that a single pound net is going to really fish out any areas. It may have just a local effect. Only one other pound net is located on the southern shore of the lower Rappahannock River, which you'll see the site pictures in a minute, and that net is near the submerged breakwater, Old North End Wharf, and is about 6/10 of a mile from Mr. George's proposed location. The proposed location by Mr. George is also 1.3 miles upriver from Sturgeon Bar Oyster Reef and is about 3/4 of a mile from the marked river channel. The net's proposed shoreward end in mean low water would be in a depth of about 3.5 feet and is 1,500 feet from shore. While any pound net presents a barrier to some navigation, the distances noted above suggest that this pound net would offer little hindrance to navigation. Its proposed distance from shore, 1,500 feet, would allow for the shoreward passage of small boats, kayaks, and canoes, while the distances to other noted structures appears to be satisfactory. There is not likelihood that this area will be overrun with other structures. The net's distance from shore also likely reduces its effect on one's ability to fish from shore. The success of the shore-based fishermen is more likely affected by the shallow waters and gentle slope of the bottom and their ability to cast into the deeper waters. There is no evidence that the proposed net would have any impact on water quality or tidal wetlands, and the Habitat Division has confirmed there is no submerged aquatic vegetation in the area. Some loss of dead fish is common with any fishing operation. Depending on local currents, these fish may end up on nearby beaches. However, the distance of the proposed net from shore will aid in the dispersal of any of these fish and decreases the likelihood of any ending up on an adjacent beach. And Sonia Davis will show you some of the slides from the site visit that she made and indicate where the proposed net would be, and then I'd like to follow with the recommendation.
Thank you, Rob. Sonia?
Mr. Bridger was kind enough to plot this out for me. North is up. This is the current location of Mr. George's existing pound net. If you start at the dot and go offshore, the advertised inshore pole is in this location. However, it's approximately just a little over 600 feet. The recommended location at 1,500 feet, we would certainly provide that information as to where that location is. As you can see, there is 3,442 feet between the proposed location and his current net, and 7,254 feet to Sturgeon Bar Oyster Reef. This is a shell plant location. This is sitting at the advertised location, which is about, as I said, it's about 611 feet offshore. So you're directly in front of this house. And there is it's a little hard to see in the picture, but this is a pier and there's a boat sitting there. With that same house, if you look, is there in this picture looking upriver, you see the various houses along the shore. And on the lower picture, that house is here looking downriver. You're sitting at the advertised location, looking directly across the Rappahannock River up north. This is looking downriver towards, as you cannot see his current pound net location. And this is about 0.2 statute mile. We motored over towards his current pound net location. There's any questions?
Any questions from the commission? All right. Rob?
Yes, sir. Sonia has indicated one of the situations with the proposed net, and Jack Travelstead had noted that when we first looked at the site, the proposal that was advertised really is 600 feet from shore. However, Jack did talk to Mr. George. It has been all along and still is Mr. George's intention to use the proposed site, which would be a minimum of 1,500 feet from the shore. So if you come out here, it would start right there. And given that affirmation from Mr. George, and based upon a review of all applicable factors according to Regulation 25, staff recommends approval of the license at the specified location, provided the shoreward end of the net is no closer than 1,500 feet to the shoreline.
Thank you, Rob. Is Mr. George present? Mr. George, would you like to add anything to this?
No. I just spent a hard time trying to get a net.
I know you have, and you work well with the other group, and you compromised and moved your other net. As you talk, 1,500 is the true distance, right?
Oh. PMRC sent me a proposal, and I guess Rob will look at it. This is coordinates of where it will start. I'm pretty sure it's 1,500.
I have to go back. Let me go back here and see what we have.
But I came up with 37 degrees, 625 is where it will start.
That's very close.
It dropped from 3.5 to 14 feet of water.
That's going to be very close, but we will leave you with the coordinates. You may not be able to see that, but up on the screen.
Yeah, 620.
Right. That's what we would leave you with, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, right. What you have is extremely close, 600 versus 620 on the Loran.
All right. Well, thank you. Let me see if any of the protesters are here. Anyone here protesting this site? No one present protesting the site. What's the pleasure of the commission?
Mr. Commissioner.
Mr. Garrison and then Mr. Holland.
As one commissioner, I'd like to apologize. Mr. George, I think you took a verbal lashing from the Condor-owned people, and I wish you'd have tucked it out and stayed over there. It'd be better fishing, but I wish you well in your endeavor, and I make a motion that this new site be approved.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Holland. Any further discussion from the commission? All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Carried. Thank you very much, Mr. George.
I'd like to thank all you all for putting up with me for months.
No, you've been very easy to work with, and you've bent over backwards.
Mr. Norton wants to speak.
Mr. Norton, come right on up. I don't need to on this.
First, I'd like to say, God bless the waterman.
Mr. Chairman, she needs the name in the record, please.
Yeah. Wilbert Henry Norton, Jr.
There you have it.
Thank you.
But Mr. George is, I think, a very fine fisherman. He might, if you had an All-American team, I'm sure he'd probably make it. I think the new site's fine. I went out and looked at it in my boat, the GPS, and I don't see any problems with that at all. But I do have some problems on site. The way some of these have been put in, now, I don't agree with the one on Windmill Point, simply because I don't think you can put one all the way into the shore. Fish don't go around both ends of that one. You've got juvenile red drum, redfish. ASMFC has put regulations in to protect them. Anybody knows anything about puppy drum or red drum or sage drum or whatever you spot tail bass, whatever they call. The little ones hug the shoreline. They're in the creeks. Windmill Point's a migratory area right there where everything coming out of the Rappahannock down the bay, and those little fish are in shallow water because I catch them. And I don't know where they'd go. I think a red drum is very similar to a croaker. It's a drum. Got a spot on his tail, but I'm sure they go in pound nets. And we're going to have probably a good year class. Claude Bain may know more about it than I do. I tagged one in Sturgeon Creek, and 14 days later they caught him in Oregon Inlet with a tag in it. That's pretty good movement for a little fish.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a speckled trout, puppy drum, red drum man, and inshore fisherman. I was a guide for 10 years. And I kind of question putting that thing all the way in to the shore. I'm talking about all the way into the shore.
And
there's nowhere to go except.
You're talking about the one last year over at
Windmill Point. I'm talking about that one. I think something ought to be done about putting them all the way into shore.
Oh, I agree with you.
I'm just saying I don't think they should go into shore. And the one that going into North End Wharf, that's the longest reef. Somebody here may know a longer one. That's the longest reef, and it's an underwater reef, that's what it is. There was a jetty put there for the steamboats. Of course, that all went out in 1933. Put there for the steamboats. But that pound net goes right straight into the reef. In other words, the reef is like another lead. And a lot of people use that. People on that beach over there complained about it. But, you know, I'm just going into setting the pound nets. I'm not against Mr. George. I'm all for him and all the pound netters. But somebody ought to look into the way they're set up, because those two, I think, were mistakes.
Who's the best speckled fisherman in Deltaville?
Not me. No, I
sure put you on the road.
I like to catch them.
Thank you, Hank. Thank good you. To see you. All right. Thank you, Mr. George. All right. Another public hearing, Rob. Bluefish. Eric, you're going to handle that?
Yeah, I'm going to handle it.
All right.
Okay. So this
Hunky is a dope.
Huh? All right. This is a public hearing to amend Regulation 450 pertaining to taking of bluefish with the 2006 Virginia commercial bluefish quota of 1,124,334 pounds. Now, the current regulation established the commercial quota as 1,235,310 pounds, and staff is requesting that the regulation be amended to establish the 2006 commercial quota. Now, this revised commercial quota has been advertised, and you can see it in your package. Now, if you recall, staff had to advertise two different quotas for bluefish last month, and I would just like to briefly explain how this situation came about. Bluefish is jointly managed under the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission. They have jurisdiction in interstate waters 0 to 3 miles, and by the Mid-Atlantic Fisheries Management Council, which has jurisdiction in federal waters and exclusive economic zone, which is 3 to 200 miles. And the most recent stock assessment information indicates that bluefish are not overfished, and there's no overfishing occurring. And based on the biological reference points developed in 2005. Now, based on these reference points, the total allowable landing of 24,798,836 pounds was allocated. Now, based on the historic proportion of commercial and recreational landings from the period of 1981 to 1989, 17% of that total allowable landings, TAL, will be allocated to the commercial fishery. Now, if the commercial fishery quota is less than 10.5 million pounds, that quota can be increased up to 10.5 million pounds if the recreational fishery is not anticipated to land its entire allocation for that upcoming year. So based on the 83-17 split, you can see commercial TAL is 4.2 million pounds and recreational TAL is 20.5 million pounds. So for 2006, the council recommended a transfer of the recreational quota to the commercial sector. So their recommendation was, you can see there, commercial TAL, 9.5 million pounds, and that would drop the recreational to 15.2 million pounds. Now, when they did this recommendation, they didn't have all the landings in front of them. It was at the beginning of the year. Now, when NIFS reviewed this recommendation, they chose to reduce the transfer recommended by the council to about by less of 1.5 million pounds. So now we have the SMFC that approved a commercial quota of 9.5 million pounds and the federal quota of 7.9 million pounds. And this is just because it was projected that the recreational landings might go over 16 million pounds. Okay. So the reason ASMFC decided to keep the higher coastwide quota, it was not to limit the individual states that would lose benefits from the coastwide quota. And you can see on item A, if you look at the 2006 federal quota versus the 2006 ASMFC quota, for states like New Jersey, you're going from 1.1 million pounds to about 1.4 million pounds. And same, let's see, North Carolina, it goes from 2.5 million pounds to about 3 million pounds. So ASMFC, you know, thought that maybe the fishery might get closed before the season ended if we followed the federal. So what we're what will happen is if any of these states go over their federal quota, what will happen is we'll transfer. Virginia is known to, you know, give some of their bluefish quota to Virginia or New Jersey because we never reach our quota. Or North Carolina, sorry.
You're recommending the...
Yeah, so we're recommending, staff recommends the adoption of amendment to Regulation 450 that established the 2006 Virginia quota to 1,024,334 pounds.
And we didn't get any written comments, did we?
No written, yeah.
All right, let me open the public hearing. Does anyone in public wish to address the commission on the bluefish issue? No one from the public. Matters before the commission. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Move to approve staff recommendation modifying Regulation 4 VAC 20-450-10, establishing the 2000.